5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, good evening and welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show and Super Bowl 49 weekend. It is finally here, and tonight we have a very special guest joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line, a gentleman who has experienced massive success in the NFL. He is indeed a Raiders legend, a two-time Super Bowl winning coach. Always enjoy sitting back and listening to the inside and reliving those amazing glory days. What a pleasure to have back with us tonight at YSR, the great Tom Flores. Hello, Tom. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Okay, so we're so thrilled to have you back with us to preview Super Bowl 49, the matchup, of course, with the Seattle and with the Patriots. But I want to start with the quarterback position. As you yourself, you were an outstanding quarterback for the Raiders, and you won a total of four Super Bowls. So Brady versus Russell, they're so different, yet they're so alike. I mean, Brady's got three rings as a quarterback for the Patriots. He's going for his fourth, and Wilson won his first ring last year. What do you appreciate about each of these guys?
Well, that they're both consummate professionals. They handle themselves well. They interview well. You know, they don't seem to get caught up too much in their own success. And they're team guys. They just seem to make big plays. And my evaluation of great quarterbacks is, and great players, is they make big plays in big games, and that's what these guys have done.
Well, Russell Wilson, that immediately comes to my mind, because one of the most redeeming qualities is that no matter what adversity he faces, he does make those big plays. I mean, he remains poised to the end. I mean, no lead is too big to overcome. He truly is a champion. He's a winner.
Well, he is, you know, and he's overcome adversity, the only adversity being his size. Everybody has told him, probably tired of hearing it, and he's 5'11", but he plays to whatever size he has to play to. Still makes the plays against big guys, so he's a little guy playing in a big man's world and plays very big.
What did you think about that game, the NFC Championship game, when he threw those four interceptions? Did you think the game was out of reach and that they would not be able to make a comeback?
Well, you never know. It's to be honest with you, with very little time left in the fourth quarter and being down like they were, I just said, well, it's too bad. You know, they just doesn't look like it's their day. Doesn't look like his day with the four interceptions and the one fumble. And you don't generally win too many games, let alone big games like that with those kind of miscues.
I had said earlier, you won four Super Bowls. Any games that were perhaps reminiscent of that between Seattle and the Packers at all that you want to relive for us?
Well, no, you know, every Super Bowl that I was in, I was when I was at Kansas City, Super Bowl IV, I was the backup quarterback, Lenny Dawson, and Super Bowl XI with Madden, John Madden, I was the assistant coach, and then my two is Super Bowl 15 and 18. With the Raiders, they were all blowouts. So mm-hmm. We won them all pretty easily. By the time we got to the Super Bowl, we were really on a roll, and they weren't much of a they were a game. They were a great game for us, but weren't much of a game for the opposition. But some of the playoff games were a lot different, just like the playoff game was, last 2 weeks ago, almost
right.
2 weeks, a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Between Green Bay and Seattle. It was exciting all the way to the end, and so was the So, well, the other one wasn't. The other one was in the rain, ugly. New England one. That was kind of a wipeout, yeah.
It was. Hey, you're listening to the voice of Raiders legend, a two-time Super Bowl winning head coach. We're talking about Tom Flores. We always love when he comes on the show with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He, of course, is joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line. We'd love to hear from you tonight on Twitter. Join us at E Radio Sports. And you can always go back and listen to our entire interview, our conversation, a collection of some of the greatest stories, his time with the Raiders at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. So, Tom, we've already hit on Russell Wilson. Let's transition now. Let's talk about Tom Brady. I mean, he will set a record by starting in his sixth Super Bowl, and you just have to wonder, with all the distractions from Deflategate, I mean, how that will perhaps ultimately, I mean, do you think it'll affect his play?
No, I don't think so. You know, he's a pro. He's been there before. You know, if he were a real young quarterback, you know, he might worry about it if it was a young coaching staff. But, you know, you're talking about two guys, Belichick and Brady, that have been together for a long time. They've been in a lot of, this is their sixth Super Bowl, I think. And, no, it's not their sixth. Well, anyway, so they've been in a bunch of them. They've been in a lot of big games, so they're not, you know, this is not going to bother them. You know, it's really, not much being made into a huge thing. I think some of these writers, they must not have much to do right now. There's got to be other things they can write about.
Hey, Tom Flores with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Tom Brady talking about him. He won his first three Super Bowls. If perhaps, I mean, hypothetically, the game didn't play out the way, you know, and they ultimately come up short, do you think this affects his stature? I mean, it has been a while since he's won a Super Bowl.
I don't think it's going to affect his stature. You know, the thing, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to get to a Super Bowl, let alone win one. And the fact
that
Brady's been there, he's been there so many times, and he's won three, that in itself is remarkable. So this is, you know, his legacy is what it will be. He's not even done yet. And, you know, Russell Wilson is just getting started on his. What these guys have done, Wilson in a very short time and Brady in a pretty long period consistently, is win. And so you have to you just have to be in awe of what they've done, and in some ways envious, wish I was still doing it.
Oh, I'm sure. Talk to me about Seattle. I mean, what difference do you see in this year's team from then the one, you know, that was in Super Bowl 48 one year ago? What kind of changes have you seen?
Well, I think they're very confident. They're a high tempo team. They seem to be a highly emotional team that gathers their emotion together, not just individually. You know, they catapult into the game, and you can never count them out. They're used to making big plays, you know, and they're used to doing whatever it takes. The old saying, whatever it takes to win.
Yeah.
They're used to doing that, and they showed that against Green Bay. I mean, they miraculously came from behind and made the big plays when they had to, and everybody after the game was just exhausted, let alone tone deaf from all the screaming and yelling. this is going to be a noisy Super Bowl, because I think most of the fans in that stadium are going to be from Seattle, and they're going to be loud.
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. I mean, football truly is. I mean, it is the consummate team game, as you were saying. I mean, the Seahawks, they really just all came together when it mattered the most. So just break it down for us, the Patriots in Seattle. I mean, what factors do you ultimately think will decide the outcome of this game on Sunday night?
Well, I think the turnovers obviously are always a factor. Whoever plays the cleanest game, neither team is a highly penalized team. Both quarterbacks are very effective in their own ways. Russell Wilson, if he's allowed to roam around the backfield and run, then New England's got some real issues. They're going to have to be able to contain his movement and keep him in the pocket. On the other hand, Seattle's going to have to be able to corral Brady and his passing, because evens it out all over the field.
Super Bowl 49 coverage continues tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're visiting with Tom Flores, but we've got to step aside for a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back with Raiders legend Tom Flores. Raiders legend and two-time Super Bowl winning coach Tom Flores is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell, as we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. I'm talking about two-time Super Bowl winning head coach. So what coach would you want, Tom, on Sunday? Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll? What system would perhaps suit you better and your assets?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. I've never even thought about that. You know, Seattle's a more balanced offense. It's interesting because they'll run the ball. You know, they like to run the ball, and they have the beast mode that they call it. So that will be an issue but that doesn't get going usually until the second half. So you can kind of take a nap in the first half as far as their running game goes, and second half is when LeSean gets going, but Brady, you don't know which offense is going to come out, because one week it's pass, and the next week it's run. I think they're gonna try to run the ball more and stay on the field more, and take advantage of that, and then pick their passes when they have to. But both teams are very confident in what they do, and they do it quite well.
Well, confidence goes a long way. We're hitting on Super Bowl 49, getting you set and ready, the Patriots and the Seahawks. But right now, we're going to completely shift gears and our focus. Let's talk about your silver and black pride, talking about the Raiders. Of course, massive changes taking place. Jack Del Rio introduced as the Oakland Raiders' new head coach. Why do you feel, or is he the right man for this job?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I certainly hope so. You know, I've been waiting a long time, and I've been a Raider most of my professional life. I've been doing the radio broadcast now for 17 years, and I'm tired of broadcasting and losing games. I mean, I want them to do some good stuff.
Sure.
I think they're on their way. I see that. I get the feeling of that last season, the second half of the season. They played with a lot of spirit. I really feel bad for Tony Sperano, because I thought he did a good job.
Yes.
When he took over for Dennis Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And keeping the team together and keeping them playing with excitement and spirit and energy. And that's hard to do when the team is losing, you know, most of the weeks. So I thought he did that well, and I was kind of pulling for him to stay and maybe tweak some of the staff a little bit. But it just didn't happen. You know, the ownership and the management, I guess, they felt they had to go a different direction. I know Jack Del Rio from his playing days. I don't know much as a head coach, because we didn't play him that much.
He grew up in East Bay, I understand. He's been a Raiders fan most of his life, yeah.
Yeah, I remember when he was a young kid in Hayward, going to high school, and was being recruited by USC, and my friend John Robinson. I remember when John came up to recruit him, and he could do everything. He was a superstar in high school, football and baseball, and then did the same thing at USC and played very, very well through the pros. So all of that is positive. The coaching part, I assume that he's a pretty tough, hard-nosed coach, because that's the way you play the game, and I assume that's the way he's going to coach the game. I've heard a lot of good things about him, so I'm hoping he can turn it around. I think they're on their way. They've got a quarterback, and now they got to build around the quarterback.
That's right. We're going to talk about Derek Carr here in just a moment. Right now, visiting, going one-on-one with Tom Flores, Raiders legend, right now at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. So the Raiders renaissance, it is underway. Plenty of work to be done. You were talking about Derek Carr. He is the heart of this team. But what is the top priority so the Raiders can produce a winning season and a playoff berth?
Well, I don't know what the top priority is right now. They've started with getting some key players. Last year, I thought they had an excellent draft last year with Carr. You know, getting Carr in the second round was a real coup, I thought, because they wanted to get a good quarterback, I mean, a good player with their fourth pick, in the draft, and they got one in Khalil Mack. He turned out to be just an outstanding rookie linebacker. And then when Carr fell into the second round, that was a no-brainer for them because they liked him right the back. And then they got Gabe Jackson, another starter, as a left guard in the third pick in the draft. So they had a pretty good draft, and most of their young. The good news is most of the young guys that they drafted or signed as free agents got a lot of playing time in last year. The bad news is that most of their young guys got a lot of playing time last year, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. But now they've got a year under their belt, and they should be better. But they do have to fill in some of the gaps. I still think they still need a natural pass rusher. You know, they need another offensive lineman. You could never get enough offensive linemen, because if you have a quarterback, he's the guy you're going to protect because he's going to be the speaker of the franchise.
Well, the Raiders' future, it's obviously bright. Tell me some more about Derek Carr, because it was amazing just how quickly he made the transition and how he has just come in and really absorbed the system. You just have to wonder, you know, how he'll do this in this upcoming year with Jack Del Rio's new system.
Well, I hope they continue a similar system. They're going to, from everything that I hear, they're going to use a kind of a fast-paced system, which seems to be the going thing right now. That seems to be in vogue. No huddles and get your team out there and run a lot of plays and get the defense on, off balance a little bit. That's the kind of system, though, that Derek Carr ran in college, so it's nothing that he's not familiar with. But he came in and showed a lot of maturity as a young rookie in leadership and in reaction time and adjustments. Still made a lot of rookie mistakes, but that's what it is. But he'll be better this year. He's very smart, very diligent, and works really hard at what he does.
Tom Flores has been synonymous with the Raiders and championship football for a long, long time, and always a pleasure when he joins us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. You enjoy Super Bowl 49, Patriots Seahawks, and we'll see how it all shakes out. Thank you so much, Tom.
Okay, anytime, and you have a good time.
Don't get
caught up in all the hoopla.
I promise I won't. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. You stay close. Okay, the countdown is on for Super Bowl 49. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are glad you're back with us at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Time now to check in with our NFL analyst and go under the helmet with Jason Peter. Very anxious to get his preview and the keys that will determine if the Seahawks or if the Patriots win. Jason, it's good to have you with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. Jason, of course, is joining us on a Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. So let's pick up, though, first where we left off last week, talking about Deflategate, the Patriots. Okay, so Bob Kraft, he comes out, makes some very bold statements on Monday that he believes his team did nothing inappropriate, no violation of NFL rules, and basically welcomed the league investigating. What was your reaction to that? Because he was pretty adamant.
Yeah, coming out and saying that the NFL would owe him or his organization an apology. I may be the wrong person to ask about Bob Kraft and the Patriots.
Why?
I just don't like them. I think, he's a hypocrite. I think he is this guy, who puts up this whole facade about the squeaky clean image and everything else, and we only win and we win the right way, and that's just not that they're the only team that kind of breaks the rules, but there's also personal reason for me and that they were the team that drafted my brother and then cut him, 2 days after the draft, saying that they weren't aware of, some of the trouble that he had gotten into in college, which I know was a complete lie. It's the spin job, and, they kind of, ultimately was Robert Kraft's wife, I think, who stepped in and said something. But, you know, it was just, I just don't think he was treated fairly enough so that Bill Parcells at the time, who was the coach there, called my brother and said, "This isn't me. You know, if this was me, you'd be here already." And you know, he apologized and what have you. But I just, you know, when you combine that with some of the stuff that goes on now, you know, if it's a superstar player, you know, he's got no problem looking the other way. But it's just like when it's convenient and when he can take advantage of a situation to make that organization look like you know, they're head and shoulders above everybody else. I don't know. You know, for me, it has nothing to do with the success. I know a lot of people, I think some of the issues that they have with New England, you know, derives from the whole jealousy, you know, that your team's better than mine or whatever. You know, I could obviously care less about the success of a team. It has everything to do with, I think, the way that people are treated and whether or not they tell the truth. And from my own personal experience, I just, you know, it's not a favorable one. Let's just say that.
Super Bowl 49 coverage continues at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Getting you ready for the Patriots and the Seahawks with our very own, our NFL analyst, Jason Peter, as we continue to go under the helmet. I thought, you know, working in the media, and I didn't know if you had this perception as well, but, you know, just being offended that he was characterizing Deflategate as a crisis being driven by media folks. I mean, and essentially demanding that there was an apology that needed to take place.
Yeah, I know, and even Tom Brady, you know, the comment that he had made saying, "Hey, you know, it's not ISIS here. You know, nobody's getting killed." And yeah, that's true, you know. But don't downplay the significance of what is happening here, you know, because it is a rule, or, you know, you're not allowed to take air out of the balls and you know, prior to the game. And obviously there's a video that may or may not exist, I guess, of a Patriot employee, you know, taking some balls into a bathroom or another room. I guess when I see that along with everybody else, then, you know, be much easier, I guess, to make a final decision. But to me, everything just kind of points south with this, and yeah, to try to downplay the breaking of a rule. You know, I've heard some people say, "Well, you know, you could go back and you could watch, you know, the other team or put on any film, you know, over a football season, and, you know, maybe the right tackle is holding on every single play. Well, he's breaking the rules. Does that mean, you know, that this team shouldn't, their victory or their wins shouldn't be validated because, you know, this guy, this offensive tackle is holding? No. You know, that's completely different in my eyes. That's something that happens over the course of a game. You have, you know, an umpire out there with three or four other officials. They're trying to regulate all of this stuff throughout the, you know, the course of 60 minutes. This is something that is kind of premeditated in my eyes. It's something that, you know, didn't happen on the field. It's something that was calculated into the days or weeks. It's probably something, to be quite honest, that's probably gone on for a long time. Just has there been a time where another player has maybe called the Patriots out enough to them go and weigh the balls kind of post-game? There probably have been numerous times where this happens. And let me say, he's probably Tom Brady or the Patriots. They're not the only quarterbacks. I mean, you've had other quarterbacks that have come out and admitted that they've done stuff like this. But you know, it wasn't, I guess, okay back then, and it shouldn't be okay now.
But what about, you know, just Jason, let me jump in here. I mean, what about the integrity of the game? I mean, I'm thinking about the game of golf. You can't change your score, you know?
Right. I know. It's sad. And, you know, they're trying to downplay it. It's kind of one of these things where they don't think people should, I guess, you know, hold them to the fire for it. And, you know, I don't know if the Patriots are just you know, the only team out there that's cheating, or they're just the worst team at cheating out there. Because I'm sure there are other teams that have stolen, and, you know, I don't know if they've videotaped, but, you know, other team signals. You know, the Patriots aren't the only ones. But, you know, I guess, you know, if you're a New England Patriot fan or you're part of that organization, I just think when it continues to happen, you know, is it because people maybe, you know, have it out for us, or is it just that, you know, we just continue to break the rules and we just continue to keep moving on and we don't think twice about it? And, you know, that's something that, I don't know, to me it would be a structural problem from within. And when you look at, you know, who's in charge of that Fortune 500 company, it's Bob Kraft, and you know, he's ultimately responsible in my eyes for it. But yeah, you know, there is lack of integrity for sure, you know, when you're talking about this cheating.
Jason Peter joining us on our Progressive Celebrity Guest Line, brought to you by Progressive, comparing rates to help you save. Now that is progressive. Do you think the perception of the Patriots being cheaters, do you think that'll ever change in the future? I mean, Kraft wants an apology if his team's exonerated.
I think absolutely it does, and I think that's why I don't think they really think twice about it, because unless this whole deal with the balls, this Deflategate had come out, nobody really was thinking, you know, oh, the Patriots got here at the Super Bowl 49 because they cheated. Or, you know, they got here because, I wonder if they're videotaping signals again. I mean, that kind of stuff just, you know, people forget with time. And, yeah, you might have, you know, a journalist in, you know, 10, 20, 30 years who's writing about, you know, this kind of era of New England Patriots football. And he may be a writer that, you know, says, yeah, they won, but, you know, you got to remember what they did. You know, they broke X, Y, and Z rule. But, you know, as far as I think just the regular fans, I don't know. You know, I really don't think that people will dwell on that. I mean, I wasn't really thinking about you know, what happened with the Spygate scandal a few years ago until Deflategate kind of started.
We've got to step aside for a quick commercial break as we continue talking about Super Bowl 49 with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We will be right back with much more at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Remember, join us online at Twitter at E Radio Sports. We will be right back. Back with you at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show, always bringing you the biggest and the very best in sports. And Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment, as he has got his hand in the dirt. He's ready for Super Bowl 49, the Patriots and the Seahawks. We will get his perception of what needs to happen in order for those teams to win. But talk to us some more about, in terms of Deflategate. I mean, what happens, let's say, okay, so the Patriots, they win the Super Bowl. Will they be the maligned champion? I mean, will there be an asterisk by them?
I don't think so. Just because if they beat Seattle, which in my eyes, I if you ask me who I thought was going to win, I'd probably say New England. I just think ultimately, you know, they're a better all-round football team, and I think most people will see that you know, if you're able to beat Seattle on the biggest stage with the players that they have and, you know, the defense that they have and the quarterback that they have and you know, they have a very talented team, I think that most people will, you know, they'll accept the fact that New England is worthy of, I guess, being a Super Bowl champion. But it will be something that, you know, I don't know if it people, if you're talking about, you know, the game itself, I don't think people talking at the water cooler will necessarily just, I guess, say, yep, New England Super Bowl champ. There certainly may be a little bit of, you know, the Deflategate. Yeah, but they had to cheat, or they had to do this, they had to do that. But it, from my point of view, you know, I know New England's a very good football team, whether or not, you know, they deflated the balls or not. Now, that's not me saying that that wasn't a significant thing, because it very well could be. You know, especially when you talk about a quarterback and being able to have a better grip on the ball and better feel. I mean, it's a precise game, you know, to start with. And then when you're talking about, you know, bad weather and having issues with ball security, and I mean, you're talking about the quarterback and throwing the football any way that, you know, somebody, a quarterback, can feel like they're getting an advantage over the other guy. I'm sure they'll do that, usually within the rules, but it's such a game of detail that for anyone to discount, you know, the significance of the air being let out of those balls, I think is, you know, they're crazy, and I do think that it will certainly, there already is, not create discussion for, you know, whether or not New England deserved it. There will be those conversations, but for me, you know, if New England wins, then you know, they're world champs.
Okay, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, they reached their sixth Super Bowl together. And I just have to wonder, we were talking about this earlier in the show, I mean, how does this latest controversy impact the legacy and the reputation of two very successful individuals in the NFL?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it just depends, I guess, on how much longer they go about coaching and playing. You know, Brady has done a lot in his career, and you know, he's arguably the best quarterback to have played the game. You know, whether he is or not, that's obviously for those people's arguments. And you know, the people that think Peyton Manning or maybe, you know, Joe Montana, but he's in that conversation. And you know, for me, looking at this whole thing with Deflategate, it doesn't make me say that Tom Brady doesn't belong in that conversation, because I know, as a football player, I know how difficult it is out there, and he's had tremendous success. And, you know, at the end of the day, the players still have to go out and they have to play. And they still have to go out and they have to execute the game plan. So, yes, there have been things that have happened with this Patriots organization that make you say, you know what, if everybody's not playing on a level playing field. But I also know the time, the effort, the hard work that Tom Brady's put into this. And, you know, I'm not going to say he's the best ever, but you know, he belongs in that conversation. And you know, Belichick, it's a little different for me. You know, I
okay, are you ready? Okay.
Yep.
Okay, all right. So you know, you got your thought in your mind?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Go, Jason.
And as far as Bill Belichick goes, I imagine that he would be held to a higher standard, being that, you know, he's the head coach of a professional football team. So I imagine people will probably hold him maybe more accountable or more suspicious to the things that have happened while he's been the head coach for the New England Patriots.
Right. Let's move ahead. So, Jason, who is more valuable to the Patriots, Brady or Belichick? Who's most impressive?
Oh, who's more valuable? I just, not to take away what Belichick has done, but, man, it is very, very hard to have success in the NFL if you do not have a star at quarterback. I mean, that's ultimately what it comes down to. You need a bona fide star. It's a quarterback-driven league. Obviously everybody's heard that, but, just with the things that come along as well, off of the football field, the public appearances and everything else. I mean, that's why every time draft season comes around, it's can this guy be the face of the franchise for the next 10, 15 years? Is this the guy that we want? And, certainly New England, it's one of the all-time great steals of the draft, grabbing, arguably, like we just talked about, one of the best players ever at that position in the sixth round. So, for me, I'd probably say Brady.
Okay, so Jason, as we get ready to wrap up our interview, give us the forecast. I mean, how do you see this thing playing out?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. Not obviously, because sometimes Super Bowls aren't great games, but I think they both have excellent defenses. I think you're going to see some great, great secondary play from both teams. It ultimately will come down, I think, to Russell Wilson and the plays that he either makes or doesn't make using his legs.
The countdown is on for Super Bowl 49. Jason Peter always doing a great job providing that comprehensive breakdown. The Patriots, the Seahawks, we will see on Sunday night how this is going to play out. And Jason, we'll look forward to talking to about it next week. And also National Signing Day. It is already here. Very anxious to hear who is going to be, for me, who's going to be going to Oklahoma and, of course, for your Huskers. So, Jay, stay warm. We'll talk to you real soon. Thanks.
Thanks for having me.
That, of course, was Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment, and we have been getting you ready for Super Bowl 49, taking time now to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup over the past 2 hours. Dan Reeves, legendary NFL coach, Quinn Buckner, the Vice President of Communication and Television Analyst with the Indiana Pacers, Tom Flores, Raiders legend, Lee Klein, our contributor with Slam Magazine, and also I want to send out a very happy birthday wishes to our amazing producer, Andy Pondillo, right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. Remember, don't drink and drive. Enjoy Super Bowl 49. We'll see you next week for the biggest, the best in sports.
Pro Savings Days are on at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances. Plus, my Lowe's Pro Rewards members get an additional 5% off when you buy 5 or more select GE, Whirlpool, and Electrolux kitchen or laundry major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 123. Discount valid to my Lowe's Pro Rewards members only. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for details. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.